Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hour number deuce here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. Missed any of the first hour, you could download that, the Fan Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app. Rewind, fast forward, except for in the future, that would be impossible. We're over on YouTube as well if you want to see our faces. YouTube.com/1051thefan. There's a chat feature there that we get into. Coming up this hour in 15 minutes, we'll bring on Alex Brink. He is in the booth, Washington State. Football games, and we will ask him about the Jimmy Rogers situation. We'll have a little discussion about that, Web Gems, this hour as well. If those of you are waiting for Ducks and Blazers, we will get to that in the big nooner. So stick around for that. Oregon, it's funny that I thought coming into today we would lead the show talking about Oregon and their spot in the college football playoff. And boy, is that conversation like the least spicy topic of it all, is it not? Oregon at the 5 seed with James Madison. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, okay. Moving on. Nothing
and
to see here.
And let's go.
Yeah. So we will get to that in the nooner and spend ample time on it. Reminder, we have Tyson Alger on Wednesdays. We'll chat with him about that as well. But let's finally get to it. Notre Dame is left out of the college football playoff bracket, despite being told they were in all the time. Committee finally pulled their heads out and decided that, hey, a head-to-head win might work better. And they took Miami over Notre Dame. Now, the interesting part about that is not just Notre Dame not making the playoff. We've talked about that all last hour. I don't think Notre Dame was good enough to make the playoff. Boom. Roasted. Just like that. Mm-hmm. What Notre Dame has done since then is very, I don't know if I want to use the word fascinating. It's kind of sad to me, and it kind of pisses me off a little bit. I've never been a Notre Dame fan, but I've never been a Notre Dame hater. I understand their place in college football. I understand their brand and what it means. I understand. I talked to some guys last night. I was watching the Packers-Bears game. These guys are from Chicago. They hate Notre Dame. They're like, I grew up in a super-duper Irish Catholic neighborhood, and every kid there thought he was going to Notre Dame. And it's like, no, you're an idiot. You're not getting into Notre Dame. So I've never lived in that world. I understand their place in college football. For their AD to come out and say, we're not going to a bowl game, and our relationship with the ACC is now strained, is some of the most hot garbage I've ever seen in my life, okay? Teams have down years. K-State, Iowa State are not going because of their coaching situation. I totally understand they don't want to go to a bowl game. That's different. But the idea that you got left out and now you don't want to play nice,
you're taking toys and going home,
is some serious bullshit. Dude, Notre Dame, BYU would be a dope game.
Yeah,
I was so stoked to when I heard that.
Mormons.
When I heard that, I was like, that'll be a fun game. Settle it on the field and then talk trash and say, we should have been in the playoff, whoever wins that game.
And I saw a text earlier, the idea like, so what about Notre Dame seniors?
Totally.
They're done?
Did the team vote on this? I can't imagine they did. Marcus Freeman's the kind of guy who's like, accountability, passion, your teammates, everything. You know, Notre Dame is your blood. Mm-hmm. To just not play? I don't get it.
This is...
I don't get it.
It's nasty. It's nasty. I don't.
It's childish.
Look, would Jeremiah Love probably sit out? Probably.
Sure, yeah.
And maybe they're worried if, without Jeremiah Love, that maybe they'd lose to BYU. And sure. Now all of a sudden, well, we didn't have Love. And it's like, you get into one of those things and it's like, then go prove it, dog.
Yeah, but like, let's be real here, man. If BYU were to beat Notre Dame because Jeremiah Love sat out, in 3 years, I'm not going to remember that or care.
No.
I just want to watch an entertaining product in that moment. That's the thing. These bowl games don't need to be the end of the world.
Game,
yeah. And they are literally just kind of like showcases, exhibitions for us to just watch and have fun. You know, maybe you see a player who blows up in a game and gets higher draft pick for mm-hmm. that. We see that in the World Cup all the time. Mm-hmm. Some random dude from Colombia scores a bunch of goals, and now James Rodriguez is on Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are cool stories like that. Nobody's going to remember if Texas loses to Michigan. Nobody cares.
Well, Michigan would.
Well, I know they will, but the idea that you're going to hurt your reputation by playing in a bowl game? Get out of here.
Yeah,
this is way more destructive.
Yeah, it is. And it's petulance. It's arrogance. It's, look, I mean, I have my bias against that program, clearly.
Yeah.
This is weak.
I guess it's
weak, man.
I guess what's really surprising to me is that if you told me somebody did this, I would have never in a million years thought it was Notre Dame.
No.
I would have said Texas.
And they're not.
They're not doing it. I would have said, you know, maybe Lincoln Riley's all pissed and he says no, or.
And guess what they're doing?
They're going.
They're going to the Alamo Bowl to play TCU.
Yeah, not a cool game.
So you get to play a Texas team in Texas.
I know. I think you guys will smoke them, though, so don't worry about it. This is just not the team I ever expected to do it.
It's, I'm going old guy shaking his fist at the cloud. It's classless.
It really is.
You're supposed to be better than this. You're supposed to be better than this.
Yeah, I thought you're the gold standard, pun intended.
And that's what I mean. Like, and you're playing another top 15 team.
Right? Dude, that's such a great matchup. Let me read some text here, 503-864-6326. I hope this will finally convince Notre Dame to shut up and play in a real conference and stop pretending they're so freaking special. The second part of that, the pretending that they're special, this ruins all of it. If you would have just gone and played, then we would have never been having these conversations. Because who's taking the biggest PR hit today? It's Notre Dame.
Yes.
Alabama's getting off scot-free mm-hmm. for being a three-loss team in the playoff because nobody can stop thinking about Notre Dame and how childish they are right now.
Well, not just that. It's also, who did Notre Dame play? All because you want to sit there and try to control the narrative. And, you know, Dusty and I said this for the first couple of years. Notre Dame's always going to get in. Notre Dame's always going to get in. Well,
the three best games, they were 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
And the team they beat was the quote-unquote worst of the three teams.
Yes.
As far as the conference stuff goes, I don't live in that world. I don't live in the world of they should be forced to play in a conference championship, in a conference, blah, blah, blah. They can do whatever they want.
Sure, you can be an independent. Go play teams.
But go play teams. And guess what? To their credit this year, they did schedule great. Texas A&M at home, mm-hmm. on the road at Miami. Boise State was a preseason-ranked team. Before they got
and then cupcakes
destroyed by South Florida. USC's on the docket. That's four really good games. Navy turned out to be a good team this year that they destroyed. Pitt turned out to be a good team this year that they destroyed. Like, it was there, but you got to go win.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sign up for games, which they did. I haven't looked, but I heard their schedule next year is garbage. Then that's on you. Then that's on you. Mm-hmm. You can be independent still. I don't think you need to be. It doesn't bother me at all.
Well, if you aren't. I mean, if you are, guess where you're at right now?
Out.
Well, if you're in a conference, you think they're in?
Maybe.
Probably.
If they're in the ACC, yeah, dude. If they were in the ACC, they'd be the sixth seed right now.
They'd play Virginia.
Yeah, smoke them.
You know what I mean? Like, your one conference loss would have been Miami. That's it. You'd be playing Virginia. That's on you, dog.
It is. And I have no sympathy for them, and this...
Sucks to suck, losers. Now take your stuff and go home and go pout about it. And we're all going to point and laugh at you.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
I don't mean to keep beating this dead horse, but like.
I do.
Dude, you guys are so pathetic.
And this is a lot like what we saw with Penn State when, you know, they kept going after coach after coach after coach. It's like, what did you expect?
Yeah.
You didn't have a plan. You didn't do the thing.
Yeah. You were the first at the table. You were the first program to say, we're open.
And then
who would like to work?
You might
here?
Have lucked out with Matt Campbell in the end,
mm-hmm.
but the process was bad.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, the process is bad. You want to sit here and have this, we're going to have our independent NBC deal and we're going to do this and we're Notre Dame. We're better than this.
Go for it. I don't care.
The playoff selection committee just told you you weren't. They just told you you weren't.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Yeah. And this is how you deal with it?
Because here's the thing. We go to a super conference. You know what Notre Dame's going to do? They're going
to
come in.
Of course they are. They'll have to. They'll have to.
So figure it out.
But to their defense, if a super conference is created, that's not really a conference. You know what I mean?
But you know,
that just becomes a league, and you're now just in the league.
But your schedule is your schedule.
But your schedule is your schedule. And they would lose that advantage of being able to schedule themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, look, next year, by all accounts, I've heard is a cupcake schedule. I'll look it up in the break. It could be, and they could run the table and be in the playoff. And you know what? If they go to the Natty and win it, good on them.
Cool.
Or if they get exposed in their first game, then that's that. And we will see that. It is on them to schedule accordingly. And if they choose not to be in a conference, then they are choosing to not have the quote-unquote advantage that the playoff committee selection is telling us that conference championship games don't hurt your resume. They don't get that benefit, and they seem to be fine with that.
Now, it hurt BYU.
It hurt BYU.
But it didn't hurt Bama.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hurt Ohio State.
Right.
Hmm.
Texas A&M didn't even go.
Yeah. And they're like,
Neither did Ole Miss. Neither did Oregon.
Yeah.
And they're like, eh, we're good. And they all got seeds higher.
Yeah. Did they move? Nope.
I think it's, you make your own bed. You make your own bed. And as far as bowl games go, this Texas just is perfect. It's also a reward for the players. They get some cool stuff and have a fun time.
I do love that. They're not used to being told no.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you just sound so spoiled. I forget who it was, but I was looking at it. Oh, Cal is playing Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah.
Do you think Cal would ever say no to that?
Well, I mean, not especially not now.
Hell no.
Josh Lupoi is their head coach.
Josh Lupoi is like, hell yeah, boys, let's go to Hawaii. We got them, boys.
Yeah, nobody says no to the Hawaii Bowl.
No, I'm going to Boise. On that note, let's bring Alex Brink on and talk about the situation up in Pullman with what is going on as Jimmy Rogers in the cloak of the night disappears from Wazoo and takes the Iowa State job. We'll chat with our buddy next on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you can hear him on the call for Washington State football games. He is my quarterback, friend of the show, the great Alex Brink, bringing him on to chat whatever the hell happened over the weekend with that program. Alex, thank you for joining us. I'll start you easy here, bud. We've been talking about College Football Playoff Selection Committee for the last hour plus or so. Are you one of those people that thinks that job is, you know, real difficult job? I'd hate to be in that room. Or do you think we would just do it and get it right?
I think it's tougher than everybody would maybe like to think. I mean, you know, there's definitely shades of kind of feeling like some of the things they get wrong, it seems impossible to get wrong, but, you know, wrong, quote unquote. But I think it's tougher than people give credit because, you know, they kind of set themselves up for failure by creating certain standards, so to speak, and then the reality of sports and all the things come into it. I mean, like, who could have predicted that a few years ago Florida State's going to be one of the best teams in the country, and then they're all everything quarterback gets hurt right before the playoff, and you know, and then the committee's got to make a tough decision that probably wasn't right, but it went, you know, it was what it was, you know. So I just think there's scenarios they can't predict, and they make everything in absolutes, and then they end up in situations like this where, you know, they get kind of stuck.
Well, let's dive right into this. It was Friday afternoon-ish, early evening, when all the noise, the news broke. Walk us through. You're real close with that program, obviously. Walk us through kind of what happened as Jimmy Rogers ends up leaving Washington State to go to Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, you know, for Washington State, the reality is that they were kind of the victim of a really messy situation at Penn State, right? Like, Penn State fires James Franklin mid-year. His agent gets, Jimmy Sexton gets very upset by that. And all of the candidates pretty much that, you know, Penn State wanted to hire were Sexton clients. And he kind of ended up blackballing the program basically, right? So then Penn State ends up on their, what, you know, sixth or eighth option. And that happened to be Matt Campbell, the head coach at Iowa State. And then, you know, by circumstance, it has now kind of come to light that Jimmy Rogers always wanted the Iowa State job, apparently. And so to the tune of him texting with the athletic director pretty regularly, you know, over the past few years, even while he was at Washington State. So, you know, kind of a strange situation in that regard. You know, I don't really blame Jimmy Rogers in the sense that he's from, you know, he coached forever in that area. His family is from that area. He's got nieces and nephews there. Like, there's a lot to that, but it does look really bad to leave a program after less than a year, and it's really tough on this fan base, frankly, after all that they've been through.
Bring, I guess, the obvious question for me is now is where do the Cougs go from here? Because, you know, looking at the quote-unquote Pac-2 and Oregon State and Washington State seemed to weather the storm and figure some stuff out and seemed to have everything kind of at least under control for the most part. And then, obviously, the change in athletic director and now the change in head coach. And meanwhile, you look down at Oregon State, where they've just been a complete and abject disaster for the last year. It seems like they're kind of getting back on the path, and now Washington State's kind of having to pick up that slack. So where do you kind of see them going next, and what's up next for the Cougs?
Washington State has to get this right. I mean, this is an inflection point more than any other inflection point Washington State has had to this point. And it's not even so much about the coaching hire and the coaching search, right? Washington State as a university has to decide if football is important to them, right? And so a new president came in this year, Betsy Cantwell. She seems to have a really good feel for what athletics can mean to a university like Washington State. She was at Utah State, where she hired Bronco Mendenhall, went out and paid him to get him out of Albuquerque from New Mexico to go there. I think she understands the commitment it takes, but there's a really big conversation that has to happen at Washington State. And some examples I would give you is that when it comes to institutional funding in this new Pac-12, not NIL, this is not NIL dollars, this is just how a university supports their athletic department, Washington State is the least funded in that regard, right? So to the tune of maybe $8 million a year, and to put that in context, schools like Boise State, Utah State, Colorado State, they're upwards of $25 million a year of institutional support. That goes to, like, right, coaches' salaries, that goes to operations, that goes to scholarships, like things that are not NIL and the specific things that allows those programs to then take other funds and support their programs through NIL and things like that. So Washington State has a structural issue that they have to figure out, right? Every coach that comes in there is going to face that challenge, and it's up to the Board of Regents and President Cantwell to figure that out and help whoever the new AD is that comes in. So to me, Washington State needs to address that. And then with the coaching hire, there's two directions, right? You go with somebody that makes a big splash, right, and that has high risk, or you go find a young coordinator that has ties to the area that's going to build this thing and stay committed for a little bit, with knowing they may leave if they have success. But those are kind of your two paths.
I think it's Alex Brink joining us as we're talking about Washington State, as Jimmy Rogers takes the Iowa State job and leaves kind of the vacancy there. I think you're onto something, and there are some schools that have kind of shown how you can do this. And I'm not talking about like the Cignettis at Indiana situation, but James Madison's sitting there at the same kind of situation, and they just keep dumping money into it and making it happen. I guess that's the concern for me as a Cougar fan and some of my other brethren as alumni, is how to navigate the storm and what's going to be the best way. Because it's not just that Washington State has a coach that's one and done. It's more how it went down. And I think you get really worried that you could be a stepping block for people, like, hey, if they're poaching our coaches and our players, that means we're doing something good here. I believe you've said that, I've said that, et cetera. This one feels like, well, we didn't deserve that one.
No doubt. I mean, this was as bad as it gets. And, you know, not that this matters at all. I think Jimmy Rogers is very aware of that as well. And, you know, the nature of college football is that, you know, there is upward mobility is the name of the game in college football until you basically get to Georgia and Oregon, right? Maybe Alabama. Other than that, there is upward mobility all across the board. And I think, you know, and to some degree, it could span in the NFL, right? Like, is Dan Lanning's next step at some point the NFL? Like, who knows, right? I don't know. But, like, there is – that's the nature of it. So there's that piece where you just kind of know what you're getting into. But, you know, what you want, right, the best-case scenario for Washington State in this climate, is that you become the place that finds success in this new kind of group of six world and the new Pac-12 world, because you can win a lot of games, you can be James Madison, you can be Tulane, you can be in the mix, and if you're in the playoff, it doesn't matter. And if your coach leaves, that's fine. You just go find the next guy, right? And if players leave, that's fine. You go find the next guy. But you do need some level of stability, and that being, you know, 3 or 4 years of commitment, but also winning, right, to help generate you know, the excitement around the fan base, like you alluded to, James Madison, the institutional support that comes with that. Because for so long, Washington State fans and alumni and donors have been asked to carry the water for an athletic department and a university, when in reality, that needs to come first from the university, and then the support can come from the fan base.
Let's get into some more positive talk here. I think at the beginning of the year, Cougs were picked to win like 3 games. Cougs are 6-6, close losses to Ole Miss, Virginia, and James Madison all on the road. Impressive season. This team's going bowling. And I don't know if you know, if I gave you truth serum, if you would have admitted that at the beginning of the year. But tip-top, you know, hats off to Jimmy Rogers and the crew, what they did this season. Utah State in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. What do we got, Alex? How do we look in this game?
I think it's good. I mean, it's going to be a good matchup. I mean, there's a lot of things that obviously go into it. You know, again, Utah State finished strong. Bronco Mendenhall, the head coach there, is a fantastic coach. You know, you got the geographic nature of the rivalry or the game, and then kind of the potential of the Pac-12, new Pac-12 rivalry is pretty cool. And so I'm excited to see both fan bases show up. You know, it is weird from a Washington State perspective, no head coach. You know, some question marks, obviously, around how players are going to handle all this. But, you know, my hope is that they go out and have a great week and get excited for the game and put on a good show. And, you know, you kind of talk about what Washington State did this year, going 6-6 with Jimmy Rogers and 75 new players and all the things that went into it. And you really peel this back even farther. Washington State's gone to a bowl game nine out of the last 10 years, not including the COVID year. You know, that's better than USC and UCLA in the same time frame, right? Washington State has been one of the most consistent programs west of the Rockies for the last 15 years. And I think that no matter what, that will be true. And this is it's a job that people are excited about, and that's why there's so many qualified candidates that want to come here. Now, you know, again, I mentioned structural challenges, but there's really good football players across the country that will come and compete and wear the crimson and gray, and that's what I'm excited about. That won't change, right? It's just everybody wants you know, a little more feel good for Washington State, and it felt like you had it this year, right? And you're right on the precipice of something really cool. And that's why this thing stings so much with Jimmy Rogers now.
Brink, you brought up that consistency with what Washington State has been and the momentum that they had behind Jimmy Rogers. But you also, you know, earlier mentioned the idea of like having to decide what Washington State's going to be and the limitations that are there currently financially. When you look at that, What do you think is the most likely outcome for Washington State kind of going forward? Is this a situation where they can rally around it and find a way to get those resources, maybe not to be on the same level as a Boise State, but to be more commensurate with those? And if that's possible, how do they do that?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I think the answer is that they don't have a choice, first of all. But I also think more importantly, I do think the leadership under President Cantwell, I think, the interim AD here, John Harlow, is making the right, having the right conversations. I think everybody that is in that room kind of understands what needs to happen. And I think the outside pressure from, alums and donors, and this instance is so, it is very visceral. Like, this is different than Jake Dicker leaving, as hard as that was. You know what I mean? It's very much different than, Mike Leach's situation, right? But everybody understands what needs to happen, and the levers can be pulled. Like, it's not wildly difficult, right? It's a matter of a group of people in the Board of Regents saying, hey, we believe in this. We're going to vote on this. We can move some funds around. We can make that commitment. A couple people that are on the outside looking in, maybe saying, hey, we're going to step up from a donor standpoint. And now all of a sudden you have what you need in that sense, along with the history and the brand credibility and the kind of everything that Washington State football is, that we all love, and everybody, even people that aren't fans of Washington State, look at the Cougar Head logo and they're like, man, Washington State, we love that. We'll love seeing that on the field. And I think that's closer than maybe it feels in this moment, but it's going to take some people making some big decisions, and that's what I want to see, and I think it's going to happen.
He's Alex Brink, my quarterback. You can hear him on the calls of Washington State football games. He joins us from time to time. Alex, I can't thank you enough for this, and enjoy the bowl game. We'll catch up down the road.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brink.
He is Alex Brink, my quarterback, Casey's former coach over there. Brought some good stuff. Let's spin this around for a moment, have a little bit of conversation in comparison of Washington State's program, with Oregon State's program, and how it seems that they've kind of flipped. Mm. There was a question we kept asking about Oregon State when it came to money.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to start asking that question with Washington State?
Mm.
Where's the war chest? Mm-hmm. But first, there's Casey with sports.
As bad they've been now.
I believe in miracles.
Big thanks to our guy, Alex Brink, for jumping on the show and kind of shining some light on this. And I just wanted to follow up some thoughts on this real quick. I don't want to spend too much time on Wazoo. I don't want to look like a homer here, even though I am. It's just kind of a wild, unprecedented thing. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. What do you think of Falk coming out and wanting to be a coach? Is it time to bring number four home? If not as a coach, bring him on as a GM. Look, I love Luke Falk. I loved his time as a quarterback at Washington State. He's one of my favorites that I watched over the last 20, 30, 40 years. There's just not enough coaching experience there for me. I think Alex touched on this. In very similar to Oregon State, would I be mad if Jonathan Smith was hired? No, I wouldn't. Like, he's a good coach. There's not a lot of personality there. Whatever. I don't need personality. I need W's. I'm not upset about that. But I live in the Jimmy Rogers world.
Mm-hmm.
I live in what Oregon State did with Jamarcus Shepherd. Go find somebody like that. If you can get Eck out of New Mexico, that would be amazing. I would love a more up-and-coming, smaller program than somebody like a Jonathan Smith or this Neuheisel thing that Brandon Sprague keeps wanting to jam down my throat. I think it's the idea, and Brink said it perfectly, it's finding somebody that wants to be there. Again, if you are a stepping stone, that's okay, because it means you're doing something right. But let's take Oregon, for example, okay? Helfrich gets fired, deserved. They bring Willie Taggart in.
Yeesh.
Bolts. Everybody's kind of like, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we feel at Wazoo now. Like, what the hell was that? You were doing great things. We kind of liked where this was going.
Yeah, Willie really wasn't doing great things.
No, he wasn't. Mario Cristobal comes in, really turns the program around. Everybody's like, oh, okay.
And then he bolts.
And now Oregon is sitting there going, oh my God, we are a stepping stone. This can't be good. And what Brink was saying, they go find a Dan Lanning. Mm-hmm. And Lanning ain't going anywhere. And he was not a sexy hire when they hired him. And I was hoping a little bit of that from a Jimmy Rogers standpoint, mm-hmm. knowing that he would be there for 4 years maybe and then bolt. I think what rubs us all the wrong way, and I can hear, I don't want to speak for Alex, but I can hear it in his voice. That's what's frustrating about this. It's like, you knew all along mm-hmm. that you were gone. You just pulled the rug out.
Well, I mean,
because when Dickert left, I got a lot of friends that don't like how Dickert left, but I get it. Mateer, Cam Ward, I get it. Mm-hmm. Arbuckle, like, yeah, guys, we're doing something great here. Who's going to be the next great Wazoo quarterback that transfers? I don't know, maybe the kid out of Sunset. But the way you do it that way is just so diabolical and just feels personal.
Yeah, there's an element to that. It lets you kind of know that Penn State's been talking to Campbell probably for some time, too.
Without a doubt.
Like, the fact that Jimmy was gone, basically the second Matt Campbell left, they didn't just start talking.
No, nobody at Iowa State was like, oh, you know that Jimmy Rogers guy? Has anybody talked about him? No, bro, they've been talking about him for years.
Like,
because we knew Matt Campbell was going to leave Iowa State at some point.
At some point.
And again, if you're an Iowa State fan, yeah, that stinks. Matt Campbell, by all accounts, is a great coach. We played him in a bowl game and we lost.
Did you see Iowa State's AD?
No.
I should have grabbed the audio. It is one of the best things I have seen in the new college football era. He gets up there, tears in his eyes. Matt Campbell doesn't owe Iowa State a thing.
It's the truth.
And I was like,
hey, I've been on the record saying, like,
hell yeah, brother.
I am not the biggest Cam Ward fan in the world, but he doesn't owe us anything. Go to Miami. Yeah. Go draft number one.
But instead,
John Mateer, go to Oklahoma. Take Arbuckle.
You've got Notre Dame's AD out there right now talking about, you know, the strained relationship with the ACC because the ACC put a graphic out on social media of like Team A versus Team B and what Team A was Miami, Team B was Notre Dame. You're not a part of the conference, dog.
Yeah. And that's the bed you lie in. And when you look at a Washington State and Oregon State, this is the bed you lie in. Whether you book the hotel room or not, this is where you're staying. And how do you approach that? And I think you asked the great question in comparison to Oregon State. Like, they were a disaster. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts,
there might not be a program in the country that's in worse shape before Penn State was in the shape that they're in.
Yeah, maybe Oklahoma State. Yeah. That might have been it.
That's it.
And
of the actual Power Four schools or Group of Five schools, like,
and they went and hired Eric Morris. By all accounts, everybody was like, "Good job, folks.
Hey, nice job." That seems reminiscent of the old OK State days.
And all it took for Oregon State to change the narrative and their alumni and their fans and their players' feelings on the school was hiring Jamarcus Shepherd. That's it.
A coach with juice and a guy who immediately flipped a guy to a four-star recruit.
And then at like the question I said, and when I mentioned this to Alex about Jimmy Rogers, like, Cougs are supposed to win like three games this year, mm-hmm. and they have an outside chance of they could have won 10. Okay? You lose to Ole Miss by 3, that could flip. You lose to Virginia by 2, that could flip. You lose to James Madison by 7, that could flip. You lose to Oregon State by 3, that should have flipped. Mm-hmm. And you're a 10-win team right now. And that move from Jimmy Rogers was all it took for the fan base to go, this team has turned it around. Boy, that was scary for a second, mm-hmm. wasn't it? And we're like, hee-hee-hee, kind of bumping elbows with each other. That could have gotten real bad. Whoa, we survived. Just to have it pulled out is just shows you how volatile things are, and it's terrifying that Alex is like, the school has to make a choice. He doesn't know if they did or didn't. The school has to make a choice on what they're going to do when it comes to football.
And
that is scary.
And it comes back to the money.
Mm-hmm. Where's all the money?
That's the question.
Now I'm going to ask that question. Where is the war chest from the dismissal of the Pac-12? Because we were told, and we hammed on Oregon State, you and me specifically, mm-hmm. hammed on Oregon State all year about where's your money?
Yep.
Where's your money? Where's your money?
Your buyout for Bray, wasn't it like $3 million?
Yeah, and they wanted to wait to bring it down to $1 million?
It was like, come on, guys. Come on. Like, what are you doing? You're just wasting time. And then they fired him anyways before the December buyout.
Right.
It was like, so what were you waiting for?
Exactly.
Either stick to your guns because you wanted to save the money or just get it done. And that's the thing is, like, with Oregon State, the failure came about because it was being paralyzed by overanalyzing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. With Washington State, maybe they got caught with their pants down here a little bit.
I think so. I think that's what it was.
Maybe you should have known that Iowa State was there.
Yeah. Yeah, because, again, I'll harp back on this. If Jimmy Rogers 2 weeks ago takes the Iowa State job, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. Well done, dude. Oh boy, who are we going to hire? But now it feels like very, very dangerous,
mm-hmm.
because recruiting day is over. Are we keeping any of those kids? I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the head coach? Nobody knows. Everybody's
got a
job.
Campbell's probably take some guys to Penn State, which is going to leave some openings at Iowa State.
Jimmy Rogers is going to take everybody from Wazoo.
I mean, how many guys did he bring in? Was it like 75?
Yeah.
over the last 18 months?
Yeah. So, like, I just didn't have on my bingo card Oregon Ducks beating Penn State, ruining my life.
Mm. It's all your fault, Dirt.
That's what I told him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I texted him, Casey. I text Dirt that this is all his fault. If Oregon doesn't destroy Penn State's program, Wazoo still has Jimmy Rogers. Is that transitive property okay?
I think it might be fair.
Okay. Mm. Do you hate Wazoo now?
No.
Are you going to make fun of Wazoo in this situation?
No, I feel bad for you guys. The same way that Wazoo fans
pity.
Felt bad
yes,
for Oregon
good,
State
pity.
Fans.
Oh, that's what you had to do. I was so happy that the kid over here has some sorrow for me.
Yep.
And you just got to flip that. So now I hate him.
Yep, there you go.
He's just throwing me a pity
please,
party.
Please, sir, arms for the poor.
Oh, God. I hate everybody.
Hide the money, y'all. There's broke people around.
Yeah, we po. We're not poor. We po.
Oh, man.
You know it's bad when you po.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up po.
It's tough out here.
It's tough. All right, let's put a cap in this for a minute. We'll get to some web gems here. And the committee, not that committee, has made a choice and made a very clear one. We'll get to that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this Web Gems, everybody's favorite. Do it every single day at 11:45. And coming up on the Big Nooner, what do we got here? Ah, yes. The hyper-local stories we've saved for the Big Nooner.
Mm.
As we'll take a peek at Oregon's path to a potential national championship, what their bracket seating looks like, and maybe we'll have the discussion of, dude, this might be a real thing. The 5 seed might be the greatest thing on planet Earth in college football.
Mm.
Like, don't be shocked if that's what everybody goes for now.
Yeah.
The 5 seed?
Yeah. I mean, well, until somebody gets somebody thrown into that 12th spot and you're like, oh crap. Let's say a group of five team moves up to 11, but you get a 3-loss SEC team at 12 because they dropped a game.
Now Oregon has Alabama and you're like, damn it, we had JMU.
No, don't want this.
We'll also do some Blazer chatter from some games over the weekend. And last night, goodness gracious, NBA, not a good look. And maybe the end of a Hall of Famer we saw on Sunday Night Football last night, plus closing arguments. But this Web Gem story, I want to do a little, give us a little palate cleanser here on football. The Contemporary Era Committee for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame has elected Jeff Kent into the Hall of Fame. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating. Is Jeff Kent a Hall of Fame player? I'm not sure, which usually tells me no. Because I believe in baseball. It's like, is that guy a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Anything else is a no.
Yeah.
That's a no. So I'm not sure I'm on that. But they made a very large statement as well that Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Gary Sheffield did not reach 25% of the vote and are not eligible again until 2031, which tells me the Veterans Committee has decided, because that was the question, like, Are they going to put steroid users in because they know the game is the game? And those guys chose not to.
Cowards.
I know.
Cowards.
I know. They also didn't put in Donnie Baseball or Dale Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
But they did put in Jeff Kent. And that's the other thing that's weird. Dude, nobody likes Jeff Kent.
Yeah.
Jeff Kent doesn't like Jeff Kent. Giants fans don't like Jeff Kent.
And yet, here he is.
Because there's something weird about Major League Baseball players, especially the older generation. Mm-hmm. I think they might all be jerks. And that's why somebody being a jerk doesn't bother him.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother him at all. It's almost like if you're a nice guy, we hate you. Like, will they put in Curt Schilling?
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, he didn't get in because nobody likes him. He should be in, though.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
No doubt. Look, man, I want to look at the entire Veterans Committee and want to see how many of those guys were using stuff, too.
Well, who was on the committee? I had this list. But it's a different type of what are they on?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we all know that guys were using stuff no matter whatever the era was, whether it's amphetamines, whether it's the cream or the clear or just straight juice, whether it's creatine, I don't care. They've all been using something over the years, whether it's 16 pounds of pine tar or spitting on a baseball, or using the jalapeno or whatever else, the spider tack, whatever generation of baseball. Baseball is the cheatingest sport that's ever existed.
Without a doubt. What do I always say about baseball? Everybody's cheating.
Yeah.
Just don't get caught.
But the whole idea of like, oh, they got caught. So it's like, no, for me, it's like, no. We all know Lance Armstrong was guilty. So were the next nine guys.
But he got caught.
They did too.
Yeah.
The other guys got caught too. They were all doing it. It's so dumb. I'm so sick and tired of having this. We all know Barry Bonds is one of the three greatest players to ever play the game. There's no argument. Harris, there's no argument.
You notice how I won't look you in the eye right now while
there's
I'm saying
no
that to
argument.
You?
He's one of the three greatest players to ever play the game. He did it before he took the juice.
But he got caught.
I don't care. I don't care.
It is fascinating, though, like, if you take the steroids out of it, too, it's almost like the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Like, why is this so hard? Is Don Mattingly a Hall of Famer? Yeah. Is Dale Murphy a Hall of Famer? Yeah.
Take every year from Bonds. So what, 99 up to 99, back when he was still skinny Bonds?
He's amazing.
He's what, the third best player in the history of the game?
Probably.
Okay.
Behind like Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle.
Cool. That's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you can flip it on its head with like Griffey and Mike Trout in that aspect too. Like injuries hit them. You know, the end of their careers aren't, you know, Griffey's was tough and Trout's looks like it's headed that way as well. They're Hall of Famers.
Yes.
Absolutely Hall of Famers. First ballots.
Alex Rodriguez, Hall of Famer, might be the most talented player that's ever played the game and with nods to Bonds and Shohei.
He might be the Aaron Rodgers of baseball players.
The most talented player we've ever seen play the game.
You are perfect at what you do.
Yeah.
God couldn't have made you any better.
But like, that's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Stop pretending. I just look, if somebody kills a guy, cool. Keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
Sure, I'm down. Yeah.
But even then, OJ's in.
Ty Cobb's in too.
Like
Ty Cobb was number one.
Yes. So like, what are we doing? The pretentiousness of it all is so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting, you know, because like, will they put Pete in? I think they will. I think they'll put
eventually.
Pete in when they get the chance. I think they'll put him in. I do. Because all those old dudes that are on those committees and all those current members of the Hall of Fame that are not Chipper Jones' age, mm-hmm. that are Johnny Bench's age, they all love Pete.
Well, and you know, the ban was for
lifetime.
Life.
Yeah. And he ain't alive no more.
He ain't alive no more.
And Manfred made him eligible. I just find it interesting that these guys, it's kind of back again to that playoff selection committee. Like, guys, why do we make this so hard? Like, Jeff Kent's in? Really?
Jeff Kent's in.
Does that move the needle for anybody? If anything, it makes me go, nah.
Here's my whole thing with
Hall
of
Fames. Put
him
next to Tim Rock Reigns, you know?
Can you tell the story of a sport without that player?
Can I tell the story of the sport without Jeff Kent? Yes, I have for 20 years.
Okay, then he's not a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Can you do it without Barry Bonds? No.
Oh, no. No, you can't. By that logic, no. No, absolutely not.
Then what are we doing? What are we doing?
And I'd say the same for Gary Sheffield or Roger Clemens.
You can't.
Gary, I can split out on Gary Sheffield. Yeah. Rocket, though, Rocket, I don't know if I can tell baseball.
Gary
without.
Sheffield has one of the most iconic swings in all of baseball.
That's you a fair point.
You can't take that away.
But so does Craig Counsell.
No, I won't give that to you.
I'm just saying.
And Jeff Bagwell.
Craig Counsell holds a bat like this. Yeah. And Jeff Bagwell does squats at the plate.
Yes.
But Adrian Beltre falls to a knee. You know what's funny? Every dude I just mentioned there are in the Hall of Fame. Not Craig Counsell, but
yes,
Jeff Bagwell. And
Bagwell was on all the juice.
All the juice.
He looked like Big Papa Pump. What are we doing?
He looked like Scott Steiner.
Like, what are we doing? But he didn't get caught. I didn't have to test to know.
He had the bicep on the bicep.
Yes.
Remember when Big Papa had that little thing?
Oh, yeah.
You were like, what is that,
that's,
dude?
That's what happens.
It's like a nipple on his bicep.
Yeah, it's what happens when you shoot directly into the bicep. Like, what are we, like, what are we doing here?
I know. This is why it's my lifelong goal to be a voter for the Baseball
I'm
Hall
telling,
of Fame.
I'm telling
because
you,
I'm not going to mess it up.
I'm telling you right now, if you gave me a ballot, Barry Bonds, 100%. Roger Clemens, 100%.
They're not on the ballot
but
anymore.
I'm saying,
yeah, but
Alex Rodriguez, 100%.
Manny Ramirez,
100%. Absolutely. Unequivocally.
Manny's like my favorite Cleveland Indian of all time.
If you are one of the best players to ever play your sport, you're in the Hall of Fame. I don't care.
Can you tell the story of baseball without Manny Ramirez?
No,
you can't. Because you know why Big Poppy is as famous as he is? Because Manny Ramirez batted right behind him.
Yes.
It's the old Lou Gehrig situation. Has Ruth hit 700 home runs without Lou Gehrig? Probably not. He hits a lot, but not as much because he got to throw to one of them, and they chose to throw to Babe Ruth because they didn't want to throw to Lou Gehrig. They threw to Poppy because they didn't want to throw to Manny.
It's all very dumb. Hopefully the olds will age out, and in the voting cycles, there will be more people around.
Yeah, I wonder when, like, the Chippers and the Jeters start becoming the old stalwarts and start making rules.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting. All right, we come back. Let's get into the big nooner here. We'll slide back into some college football playoff chatter. As the Oregon Ducks are the 5 seed, they will take on James Madison on Saturday at 4:30. Could you have gotten it any nicer down in Eugene? 105 won the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.